the promise God gave us that we can pray. And they can tell us not to pray, but thankfully we don't have to open up our mouth to pray. We pray from the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaketh. So let's look this morning at several different things. First of all, I want to look at the thought. A lot of our prayer lives, no doubt, are lacking. I don't know who among us this morning that would dare raise their hand and say, I pray all I need to. I don't have any interest in learning more about prayer. We couldn't do that this morning. But the question would remain, what will it take to make us pray? Well, we can think of a lot that would make us pray more sincerely, the death of a loved one or someone dying, on. There are occasions and happenings that causes us to pray more than others. But in general, if things are going pretty smooth, you know, not rocking the boat, why don't we pray more? It's a question each one of us must ask. What will it take and cause us to pray? In the early church, they had reason to pray because they were persecuted. And today, a lot of countries and a lot of churches, a lot of people are being persecuted. Hasn't happened here in America. You say, oh, we Christians, we're persecuted. We are somewhat, but on a small scale compared to the many in the world that are truly persecuted. No doubt they are more fervent in their prayer life than they would be if they did not have these happenings. But lest you and I pray before the things turn worse, and that's what God expects us to do. We pray more. In the early church, they had a lot of reasons to pray. And then I want to look at the confidence that we can have in their prayer life. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the book of John, chapter 14, and we'll look at verses 13 and 14. The thought is, if we pray a prayer and it's going to bring God glory, or from the abundance of our heart, we are praying for the intent of that happening, what we do to bring God's glory. It kindly removes all the selfishness that we have in their prayer life. In John chapter 14, verse 13, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And the reason he promises that he will do those things that we ask is for the reason of the glorification, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Remember that premise, that if we pray for the reason, the intent, purpose of bringing glory to the Son, then God will answer that prayer. That's what he said. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And those things that we ask in his name are for his glory, that he would be glorified. And if you have that intent for the thing you're praying about, you can have confidence that God not only hears that prayer, but God will answer that prayer. We pray so many times for selfish reasons. We pray for things that has nothing to do with bringing God glory. It's for our selfish reasons. And that's okay. Pray, pray, pray. But if we could let our lives shine for God and in everything bring glory to his name, he would hear that for sure. Let's look at John chapter 11 and verse 14. Familiar passage here. And when we pray, remember, if it brings God glory, it's going to help somebody else along the way. Jesus gives us this wonderful example in John 11, verses 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. This is at the death of Lazarus. Now, we know God hears and answers his prayer, but listen intently at what he said. Jesus said in verse 39, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should seeth the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, listen to this, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heareth me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So Jesus told the Father, said, you've already heard me. From the abundance of his heart, he had already been asking the Father that when I give a command, Lazarus come forth. That was already a done deal. He had already said, thou heareth me. But because of the people around, that they may know, then I'm going to say it out loud. A lot of times we tell other people about how God's answered our prayer life. That's important. Because when the lost, they're seeking something. They don't really know what they're seeking. And they're looking for something. And they don't have salvation. They're dead, trespasses, and sin, just like I was before I got saved, and just like you were before you got saved. But when we pray and God arranges so many times things in their life, circumstances, and he knows he's going to see us through it. He wants us to pray. And that prayer not only gives him glory, and we give him glory that he has answered their prayer, but Jesus said this for the people around us also, that they may know. Listen to that verse one more time. This is so wonderful that God has spoken in his word and give us these examples. And we're talking about when we pray, the purpose of our prayers. Verse 42, and I knew that thou heareth me always. So we pray silently. But then when God answers those prayers, we make it known to others. God answered my prayer. Why? Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Other people need evidence in our lives that we show them that God hears and answers prayer. Could it be, and I think it is, that along the line of our life, a lot of things that God allows to happen to us is for his glory, his praise, his honor. And we do that and accomplish that by telling others, just like Jesus did. So let's go on in the thought. Now I want to look at three things this morning. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts chapter 12. I want to look, first of all, at the manner God chose in this instance to answer the prayers. Not only has God arranged circumstances, but God has arranged after the prayer and after he has accomplished that. He's arranged it all. Everything he has done is perfect. Now, the circumstances here causes the church to pray. We already have asked the question, what will it take to make us pray more sincerely, more fervently? Well, in the church's day, they had a lot of reasons to pray. James had just been beheaded. Peter was in jail. And the church did not know what's next. It could have been them. It could have been their children. It could have been their brother, their sister. So they had assembled themselves together to pray. What causes us to pray? Circumstances. Could God have hesitated and kept them from killing James? Oh, sure. God could do anything. But God allows things to happen. A lot of times, and I preach a message, why does bad things happen to good people? And I don't always know the answer to that, neither do you, but God does. He allows what we call bad things to happen to good people. But he always has a purpose. And God has a plan. In this particular case, we're going to see at least three things that's going to happen. Let's read the text together in Acts chapter 12, and then we'll go through this as fast as we can this morning. In John chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, their brother John with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. These were the days of unleavened bread. And when they had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That's a pretty good reason to call 24-hour prayer, isn't it? One has already been beheaded. Peter is kept, and I'm sure this word was spread around. The sense that Peter has been in prison before and God has arranged and opened the doors, then they put four quadrants of soldiers around, and I'm sure the people were saying, boy, we'd really better pray sincerely this time, because last time maybe there wasn't a lot of guards around and they could have went to sleep, but this time, four quadrants of soldiers. It's going to take a big miracle to get Peter out this time. We'd better pray. And God arranges that. He orchestrates things in your life and mine that looks impossible. How in the world will Peter ever get out of jail with all those guards? We had better pray. Not just, I lay me down to sleep type prayer, but we'd better gather together and pray sincerely. So now we see, first of all, the manner God chooses to bring deliverance. Let's keep reading. Verse 6 says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Sounds like it's as secure as they can make it. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And as he did, he saith unto them, cast that garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came upon the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of hand of Herod, and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. See, the Jews themselves had been determined to crucify Jesus, and now because Peter was following Jesus, and James and the rest of them, they were out to get them too. They wanted to put a stop to this thing called Christianity before it even started. And they thought they would accomplish this by going to Herod the king. But you see, the manner God chose to answer the prayer is different than you and I would ever think. While he was sleeping, it seems as though he was even in a trance. He was there sleeping. It sounds to me like he had full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the Lord had been risen from the dead. He was on the Mount of Olives when he saw the Lord depart. He heard the words that, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So he went to sleep so soundly that when the angel came, he got up, and as he said, when he arose, he could have said, if he had been fully awake, well, how can I get up? The chains are on me. But you see, the action was when you obey the voice of God through the angel this time and stand, and as you're standing, then the chains fall off. Don't wait for the chains to fall off to cause you to stand. A lot of times God will tell us to do something. And we see that all around us, the things that he wants us to do, there's no way to get there. The doors, so to speak, are closed. But when he tells us, well, you just head toward that door, and when you get there, I'll open it. They were headed toward the iron gate, remember, the gates of the city, a heavy gate. And an angel didn't have to come down and open it. God just spoke the word from heaven. And he even said the gate just opened on its own accord. God not only can deal with people, he can deal with things. He deals with the weather. He deals with the fire, the floods. God's in charge of the whole universe completely, all the time. Now we see that God had answered this prayer completely different than what they were thinking. Remember how he answered the prayer for the Jewish people when they were in bondage in Egypt? They were praying. What caused them to pray? They'd been in bondage many years, and it didn't seem like they were trusting God to get them out. But then we see that they had cried to God because of their circumstances. God allowed the circumstances. And then when they cried to God, he sent a deliverer. He sent Moses. Remember, Moses tried to take it upon his own hands to go out and kill one of the Egyptians. But then he realized that this is bigger than me. So he fled, and there he went to the wilderness, and he remained there 40 years. And no doubt his prayer life was not what it ought to be during those times. 40 years in the wilderness. He had been 40 years back in Pharaoh's house, in Pharaoh's domain. And God allows a long space of time sometimes before he answers prayers. But the children of Israel were in bondage, and they were crying, send the deliverer. God already had arranged. And then he was out one day taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And as he was, God had a bush catch on fire. I don't believe it was right next to him. He had to go out of his way to get there. And sometimes when God arranges things and he's going to answer a prayer that's been prayed, sometimes you have to go out of your normal circumstance or your normal way to get to that place. Many people aren't willing. So many times in my life, and you've got a schedule. You know, I have to be here by this time. Somebody's having surgery. Got a funeral. Got this, got that, and on and on, on. But God arranges all these things. And then all you have to do is just trust the Lord, and he will see you through. And when Moses was willing to leave the sheep and go to where God wanted him to be, the Lord announced, take off your shoes, you're on the holy ground. And the message started coming to him that you are a chosen vessel to be the deliverer. I'm going to use you to deliver the people that's praying over in Egypt's land. God expects us to pray. God expects us to trust him. And now the church, they're in prayer because Peter is in jail. And they're trusting the Lord to get him out. They don't know how. And they certainly don't understand that it's going to be the manner in which it is. And when we pray and we're in a circumstance, someone's in jail, whatever, or someone's in bondage, or someone's dying, whatever it is, sometimes if you're like me, you go ahead and ask God, do it this way. You do it that way. Well, God doesn't really need our suggestions. Just trust him. He'll find a way. And the way will be different and better than anything you could ever think of anyway. No wonder the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. It's all about trust. It's all about faith. It's all about our prayer life. And then God will answer. And the manner that God chooses to answer our prayers will be wonderful. It'll be outstanding, better than we can. But I want to look at the miracle impact on the church. Now the church is praying and God has performed a miracle. Peter's out. He's on his way. And notice once he gets beyond the gate, God leads him to his own self, so to speak. God takes us step by step and he'll get us to a certain place. And when he gets us through the gate, or when he gets us through all the hurdles or all the obstacles, he got him through all those squadrons of soldiers. He dropped the chains. And then when he got to outside the city, he couldn't have went over the gate or around the gate, but God opened the gate, and then the angel departed. You see, now he's left to his own decision, so to speak. He's still got the Lord directing him, but you see, God expects us to learn. I've told this story before, but I didn't have no intention of telling it again. But God brings us to certain places, and he opens doors. I remember years ago in the old sanctuary, when we first got here, they had Fletcher Elementary School over there in that school building. And the summer was really hot. Two stories, no air condition in the church. And the Lord put on my heart to let those school children in the afternoon come over to our church and use our church classrooms that were air conditioned so they wouldn't be up in that sweltering heat. And that was wonderful. The school agreed to it, and they were happy. We were happy. And it went on a couple of weeks like that. And then the weather turned a little bit nicer, and it wasn't so hot. You know what the Lord spoke to me and told me? He said, you did not lay on your face in the auditorium and pray. He said, do you realize how many of those children were lost? Were not in church anywhere? And I opened the door, and you followed me, and you allowed them to come. You and the other people in the church allowed them to come. Thank you for following me. Where was your prayer life? Did you one time go in the auditorium and lay on your face and pray for those children, salvation? And I said, no. God smote my heart. And then I had the audacity to say to him, but you didn't tell me to. Wasn't that something? God leads us sometimes to our own thoughts. What kind of excuse was that? I knew they were lost. And God caught me right in the middle of, I didn't have a burden for them. I had a burden that they wouldn't get too hot. I had the burden that they wouldn't sit there and sweat, you know, in high temperatures. But my burden stopped there, obviously. I'm ashamed to admit it. But if I had a real burden for their loss, God has arranged to have them in the house of God. And I don't even take time to lay on my face and pray for their salvation. Now, when the angel had led Peter, he was in the trance. He needed to be led. And the chains fell off, and he wasn't fully aware, seemingly, of all that's going on. And then the gate opened, and then the Bible says, and then he came to himself, and now where he goes next, up to him, right? God leads us to ourselves so many times to allow us to bring glory to his name or the lack thereof. You know where he went? To the house of God. It wasn't really a church in those days. It was to the place they were praying. That's where he went. So when the angel left him, he was to himself to do. He could have fled the city and said, boy, I'd better get out of here. They will find me and arrest me again, and I'll flee to another country. He didn't say that. Let's read where he went. Says a lot about my prayer life and yours, doesn't it? Shows a lot about our burdens. I want to look at the impact and the miracle's impact on the church. Let's keep reading our text this morning in verse 9. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. No direct communication anymore. There to start with, the angels give him step-by-step instructions. And that's what God will do. He'll give you step-by-step instructions. He did me and asked the church, is it okay with you, church, if we allow that school to come in and use our building? It's hot. Overwhelmingly, everybody, yes, let's do. And we did it for the children's sake, to keep them out of the heat. I don't know about the rest of the church, but unfortunately for me, God taught me that obviously I wasn't doing it there for their salvation. Shame on me. But now Peter, let's see what he does. And when Peter was come to himself, he didn't say, I'm getting out of the city, they'll arrest me again. He'd been arrested before. It was expected that he would have been arrested again. It didn't matter to him. He had first things first in his heart. What was it? And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. I know I trusted him, and even while I was seemingly in a trance, he brought me through. Chains fell off. The squadron of the soldiers went to sleep. I passed on through safely. The big old iron gate was there, opened up. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Lord has delivered me. Seems like it took a whole lot to get him to understand and know. But the fact is, he trusted God ahead of time. He wouldn't have been asleep if you thought it'd be your last night and you're going to have your head taken off the next day. I don't think I'd be getting much sleep, do you? But he trusted. He had faith in. And God has delivered him so far, and now it's up to Peter what he does next. And from all the expectations of the people of the Jews, and when he had considered the thing, be still and know that I am God. Look at what God's already brought us to. Church, a lot of you don't know what God's brought us to here at Fletcher First Baptist, how he's arranged all this. I mean, he arranged it. It just wasn't that simple. We didn't own the land. We didn't own enough land to park just a few cars around the old sanctuary. And God has done all this. God has led us. And God has us at this point. And now he's saying, trust me. I'll get you, Father. But we got to put him first. Let's see what Peter did. He considered the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. He chose to go to the place where prayer was being made. The first thing in his mind was not to flee and get myself into safety. The first thing on his mind was go to where people are interceding to God. Would that be a good choice for us in the year 2022? That we put our hearts, our soul, our interest in the things of God for the house of God. Wouldn't that be good? Oh, there's a lot to do. We flee COVID, and we flee sickness, and we flee a lot of things. But Peter's not worried about that right now. He's wanting to go where somebody's interceding to God. Or if we just knew the dangers ahead, we'd have the same mindset. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. See, they were praying, and they were expecting God to deliver him, but they did not expect it would be that way. A lot of times when God does something, we're so amazed. And it was a miracle that had such an impact on them that they couldn't even believe that it was Peter. They said, well, his angel showed up. He's probably still over there. The angel's here to report what's going on. It's so wonderful that we can know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ because he has so much planned for us. Today, if that miracle were to happen in any church, I wonder what would be our response once the church found out it was truly Peter. They were praising God and giving glory to him. But today I'm afraid that society is so different. They wouldn't understand if God had done such a miracle in Aramaeus. But you see, God wants to get the glory out of everything that's said and done. they were astonished. They were still afraid because they did not know that they might be next. Verse 17 says, but he beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, shew these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. The first thing he wanted to do was give God glory. God has delivered me. I'm reporting to you that God answered your prayers. You were praying for me in prison. And although God didn't do it your way, because they couldn't have dreamed of that, they couldn't have thought it. So when we pray, let's trust God to do it His way. Because we are in bondage so many times, no matter the circumstance, could be financial, could be sickness, whatever it is, with the COVID going on. It seems like we're just in bondage. Seems like there's ropes tied to us and we can't get so far. But God wants to deliver us from all that. And we sometimes tell God how to do it. And I'm sure that God's already got it planned out. He's going to do it. All He wants to do is see a people that will trust Him and that will pray to Him and let Him do it His way. But after He does it, Peter is wanting to give Him full honor and glory. You go tell James and tell the rest of them what God has done. God has done a mighty miracle. Many of you could testify this morning, and you need to testify, not necessarily in church, because we'd be here 2 or 3 days if we all stood and told what God has delivered us from. But you see, they go to other places. He says specifically, go and tell others. And that's your job and mine. And remember, we already have looked at the fact, the reason Jesus prayed out loud for Lazarus to come forth, He said it plainly so the people will hear and understand who I am. And God has done these miracles for you and for me in many instances for His glory, and He wants us to share that with other people. So we've seen so far the manner in which God had answered the prayer. We've seen the miracles' impact on the church. But thirdly, I want to look at the multitude was mystified. You see, the world, they'll look at you when you tell your story how it was hopeless, it was desperate. I was in despair, there was no way out, but God miraculously come and interceded. I remember Sawyer, wasn't that wonderful, how he was laying up there and his heart wouldn't start after they had done the surgery and the guy's heart, and they came and told us in Ann Arbor it wouldn't start. And then a long time passed. And then God did it. And we've shared that, and I'm sure they've shared that. But you see, nobody gets the glory but God for all that. And the multitude is mystified. But yet the story has been told. Let's keep reading. We'll close just a few minutes. Verse 18. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers, which was become of Peter. See, the miracle that was done, it was mystifying. They were wondering. We had squadrons of soldiers. The chains were secure. Nobody else had the key but us. And then, even if miraculously he could have got out, how did he ever get through that iron gate? And there was a stir, no small stir, the Bible says. All the soldiers, no doubt they had a council. Who was responsible for this? Who let out? They never understood it. And God was the one and the only one that was going to get the glory. Verse 19, and when Herod had sought for him, he found him not. He examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. I can only imagine something like that were to happen today and God was in control, the Congress and the Senate. They had a hard, special investigations and the special investigator. And as their Senate and Congress does, they would spend not 1 month, not 2 months, but 2 to 3 years still trying to figure it out. And God allows things to happen in your midst and mine for one reason. Sure, it helps us. But you see, it was to promote our trust in Him, to promote our faith in Him, and give Him the glory. And if those three things pass, as we read to start with, God will answer our prayers. If the intent of our heart is for Him to get the glory, and while He's getting the glory, sure, it helps us. It got Peter out of jail. It got Lazarus raised from the dead. It got all these other things accomplished. But the real reason was to increase their faith, increase their trust, because of the other circumstances. And not just them, they're going to go out and tell the world about Jesus. And my job and yours is to go out, not just in church, but to tell the world where you work, strike up a conversation. And if you can't, ask God to strike up the conversation for you. And you chip in and tell what great things God had done. They'll be mystified and they'll be wondering, but yet God will get the glory, because there's no earthly way that could have happened except God intervened. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed, eyes closed? Miss Brenda, would you come to the piano and to the organ, please? Brother Ray. Altar's open. New year. We probably made our New Year's resolutions. Read the Bible more for me. Pray more. But another one I'd like to add is, when you're praying, ask Him to increase your faith and your trust. Because when we do that, He will be glorified. And then when He's glorified, it opens up another door for Him to do another miracle in someone else's life. It's not just about you. It's definitely not just about me. It's about others that you face in this upcoming year. How you share the story of redemption. And Paul always had a good starting place. I was on the road to Damascus for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose. But the light shined and the Lord met me. About the best testimony I know to tell others is what God has done for you. Begin at salvation and right on through. They'll be mystified, but they will hear. And they will understand that nobody could do these miracles. So the title of the message again is, When We Pray. A lot of things happen when we pray. God hears and answers. He does miracles. And the manner He does it will not be anything you'll ever think of. But you'll know He did it. Many are coming, others need to this morning as we pray. Precious Lord Jesus, thank You that we can come in Your presence. Thank You, Lord, we can bow. We can look to You with thanksgiving and praise and honor. And give You thanks for everything You've accomplished in our lives up to this present. God, the future is in You. And help us, Father, be about Your business in these days. Help us increase our trust in You, our faith in You. And that will begin with our prayer life. An intercession to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You'll do what You need to. There's no limits what You can do. And there's no limits to how much we can pray either. Thank You for that. You didn't put a time limit or have to have an appointment. We just pray. And You help us to trust. And You give us of Your faith. And we are thankful. Lord, You've heard and You know all these prayer requests we've heard this morning. I pray that You'll intercede in each one. And accomplish that which You have deemed will bring you glory and honor. I know you will when we trust you. Let's look to you in these days, because there's nothing else to look at. We can't look at our Congress, our president, political powers, nothing else. The only thing we have is the Lord Jesus Christ to trust in. You fixed it that way. You're honored by it, and help us to take full advantage of the trust and faith and hope that we have in Jesus Christ. They sang so beautifully about this morning, the name of Jesus. And we're told, Father, in the Scripture that at your name every head shall bow, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that you're Lord. And help us, Father, do it while we have breath, while we have a good mind, and the health that we have, to bow our knees and give you honor and glory of all the things that you have done. For your name's sake, for your glory, and for your honor. Amen.